the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every hair is open to hear, there is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We give you praise for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Reading from verse 12. Ephesians 6:12. Are we there? Okay. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Okay, or in the heavenly. Alright, so a few weeks back we began a study on demons. Hallelujah. Okay, demons. Wow, that hallelujah was quite loud. Amen. Okay. Demons. Okay, so we said why that is, I do not know. Praise the Lord. Okay. We said there's a world around us we can't see, right? Okay, Paul calls it the heavenlies. Here he says heavenly places, places italicized, which means it was added there by the translator, so you can take it out if you please. Okay, so in the heavenly or in the heavenlies. Epuranos in the Greek. Okay, that word refers to the unseen realm where spirit beings dwell. Hallelujah. Okay, and we said that realm is on the earth. Amen. All around man. The heavenlies are not up in the sky. Amen. They are up in the sky. They are where we are. Amen. They're around us. They are underneath us. You get it? Okay, all around the man. Okay, we said that heavenly place or heavenly places refers to an unseen realm around man which man cannot see until God opens his eyes to see it. Okay, in 2 Kings 6 verse 17, you see that God did that to Elisha's servant. Remember that? Okay, Elisha's servant was scared, and then Elisha prayed that God opened his eyes to see. Okay, and then he saw angels all around, you know, that mountain. And you know, this Paul would later term the descending of spirits. Hallelujah. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 12, now the discerning of spirits does not create the presence of spirit beings. Do you get it? It reveals it. You follow that? Okay, so what happened in that scenario in 2 Kings 6 verse 17 was not that angels appeared on the scene. No, those angels have always been there. The discerning of spirits just helps you sense their presence. Do you get it? It reveals their presence to you. So, you know, like I told you last week, we bump into spirits every day. Hallelujah. Okay, without knowing it. The unseen realm is all around us. Okay, in that realm, everything spiritual, everything supernatural exists. Okay, God exists in that realm. Amen. Men exist in that realm because men are spirit beings. Amen. They have spirits. Christ is seated there. Hallelujah. At the Father's right hand. Angels are present in that realm as well. Okay, we said, as you know that God exists in that realm, men exist in that realm, Christ exists in that realm, okay, angels exist in that realm, okay, there are also dark creatures in that realm. You follow that? There are dark creatures all around us which we cannot see with our physical eyes. Those dark creatures being Satan and his demons. So we began by tracing the origin of demons. We said that everything that God made was good. So whatever we call demons today would be a deviation from God's original creation. Okay, we also debunked that theory that Satan tried to fight God. Remember that? Okay, you know, he can't. You know, Satan is not, he's quite smart. He's not that daft. You get it? He wants to fight God Almighty. He can't do that. It's not even a fair fight. Now, we said that last week, right? It's like someone the size of the universe fighting with an ant. You know, that is... it's not a fair fight. It will crush him. It will destroy him. Okay, so what does the devil do? He goes for the next best thing, which is what? Man. Okay, and we see that that is revealed for us in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14 reveals the pride and downfall of Lucifer, right? And we said Lucifer there is not the devil. Remember that? Okay, Lucifer, Isaiah 14 is not the devil. Lucifer okay, means a bright one, shining one. You know, if I will say that today, literally it means blink blink. Do you get it? One that wears gold, silver. Do you get it? Okay, referring to the king of Babylon. Do you get it? He was adorned in gold, you know, had so much earthly wealth and beauty. You get it? That's why it's called Lucifer. Okay, so Isaiah 14 speaks about the king of Babylon and his pride and downfall. That pride and downfall actually is then used by Isaiah in that same chapter to teach the pride and downfall of the devil. Okay, the devil wanted to be like the Most High. Isaiah 14:14 tells us that not God Almighty, but man. We said it was man who was made like this, like the Most High. Genesis 1 tells us that man was made in God's image. Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And we said that image speaks of authority, right? Dominion, which he gave men over the earth. You know, verse 26 says that let them have what? Dominion. So that is that image in verse 27, contextually. Okay, as Psalm 8 verse 6 makes that clear, that God gave men power, dominion over all the works of his hands. Psalm 8 verse 6, it says, you've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet. It says, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the parts of the sea. So God put man in charge of the created world. Okay, both natural and spiritual. So that is what the devil craved. You get it? That is what the devil craved after. That's what he sought for. So he sought to usurp authority from the man. Jude helps us with this. Jude causes the angels who did not keep their proper domain. Remember that? Jude 6. That domain was that original position that God gave to the angels, which is to serve men. God made the angels to serve men. Hebrews 1 verse 14 calls them ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. So they were to minister for those who will inherit salvation, that is men. Okay, so what was the devil's sin? The devil's sin is simple. He wanted to be master instead of minister to the man. Okay, and how does he achieve this? He achieves this by giving the man orders. Genesis 3:1-5. Okay, so that was the devil's transgression. We said that God made the man to receive his orders from him. Right? Your Lord is he who gives you orders. Remember that? Your Lord is he whose orders you obey. You know, you are a slave to whoever you obey. That is a principle in the Bible. Romans 6 verse 16. It says, you are that one slave whom you obey. Okay, so the Lord is the one whose instruction you follow. That is your Lord, okay? And God wanted to be that Lord to the man. So he gave that man instructions. Genesis 2:15-2:17. Okay, but by obeying the devil instead of God, man made him Lord, right? Switching positions with him. Okay, so the master became the servant because the master obeyed his servant, making him Lord. You get it? So that is how man fell and the devil fell. You know, we said that their fall happened what? Simultaneously, at the same time. Okay, that fall happened by the man submitting to the devil instead of God. Okay, and the angels who also submitted to the devil fell with him. Okay, and that is how demons were created. Okay, so that sin happened together. Adam disobeyed God. Satan left his duty post or service to the man. Okay, and that is how the devil stole, you know, man's authority. And we said that authority actually was incomplete. Amen. Because man was still in the process of being made, right? He wasn't fully in God's image yet. We explained that in that teaching, Imago Dei. You may get it for more explanation on this. Okay, so what the devil got actually was a lesser authority from the man. Okay, an authority corrupted by sin. Okay, so interestingly, Satan doesn't get more powerful by becoming Lord over the man. Actually, he fell. So that power that he stole was sinful, incomplete, corrupt, because it was gotten by sin. You know, that is not power in God's side, we said. our true power in God's sight is that which is derived from obedience to God. And that is why the word demon means inferior spirit, literally. Demons are those that fell from that power found in that pure light that is God. Okay, so demons today are twisted, corrupted, powerful, okay, but it's a darkened power, okay, used to cause harm and evil. And we said that as long as man remains under the power of sin, the devil can lord it over him. Remember that? God tells the serpent that it would eat dust after the fall of man, Genesis 3 verse 14. And we said the one made out of dust is the man, Genesis 2 verse 7. That is, the devil would draw his sustenance from the man. Okay, so we said it this way, that actually God did not create Satan or the demons. We did, right? Those darkened creatures. Okay, we were the ones who created those darkened creatures. How? By giving them our authority. Okay, so the devil would oppress the man as long as the man remains in sin. That's what it means by you eat dust all the days of your life. I know some have tried to say that means that snake will be licking sand as it moves on the floor. Quite interesting. Okay, let's leave that quickly. Then we moved on to see some facts about demons. Remember that? Okay, we saw the appearance. Amen. We said there are several misconceptions about how Satan and demons look like. Just watch Nollywood. Hallelujah. You know, you just see a black creature with horns, tail. Okay, if you are two, she has a pitchfork. Get it? But if you're in Nigeria, it's holding one stick like this with its skull on top of, you know, the head, as the case may be. You know, some people picture Satan and demons looking like serpents, frogs. Okay, and we said these misconceptions came from that 13th century book. Remember that? The Codex Gigas, popularly known as the Devil's Bible. Okay, in that book, Satan is described with horns, talons, a tail, and interestingly, a green face. Interestingly. Okay, and you know, Christians should not be deriving their theology from such books. Amen. This misconception also comes from the book of Revelation. Okay, we examined those portions in the last service. We saw Revelation 12 verse 3, where Satan is described as a dragon. Remember that? With seven heads and ten horns. Okay, and we said that heads and horns are figurative for nations under the devil's power. You know, the devil is called the god of this world, right? We also saw Revelation 12 verse 9, where Satan is called that serpent of old. Okay, and we said that serpent was a picture of cunning and craftiness in the Jewish thought. Okay, so the devil is called the serpent together with his demons because they, just like serpents, are crafty. Do you get it? They lie in wait to destroy. Okay, borrowed from how serpents camouflage. Okay, to destroy their prey. Again, not literal. Okay, then also we saw Revelation 16 verse 13, where demons are described as frogs. Remember that? Okay, and we said that that is gotten from Exodus chapter 8, the plague of the frogs in Egypt. You see there that Aaron had caused frogs to come upon the land, and Pharaoh's magicians did likewise. Okay, so frogs became a picture of false miracles. Remember that? Signs and wonders done by the devil to distract the unsaved. So the demons are therefore called frogs, Revelation 16, pointing back to Exodus chapter 8. Okay, what that means is that they are doing the same thing that they did in Exodus chapter 8, which is what? Deceiving men with false signs. Now that has an end, to keep them in enmity against God. Okay, just like Pharaoh. You know, we said that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. One of the reasons his heart was hardened was because he saw his magicians, his sorcerers, replicate the same miracles that Aaron and Moses did. You know, that is the point of sorcery, we said. Okay, to keep the sinner distracted from true power found only in God. So neither Satan nor demons look like snakes or frogs, nor do they have horns. Amen. Okay, these are all figurative expressions pointing to cunning and deceit. We said that Satan is a shape shifter. Okay, what that means is that Satan comes how you least expect. In 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14, Paul says he transforms himself into an angel of light. That word transform there, quite interesting in the Greek. It literally means to change one's clothes. Think about that. To masquerade. That's that word transform, okay? So it comes in disguise. You know, it won't look scary. It won't look dangerous, okay, when it comes. In 2 Corinthians 11, there, it comes as ministers of righteousness. Verse 15 tells us that now those are preachers. Do you see that? So it will come in a suit. Come on. Okay, not a red gown. Okay, it will come in a manner best suitable to Lord, man. Okay, so that means you can see a man, you know, he's dressed nicely. Okay, he preaches every Sunday. He dresses in a best suit. Okay, he smiles. Amen. Yet he has 10 demons. Do you get it? Okay, that is Satan. He's not obvious. Do you get it? Okay, so do not be distracted. Then we moved on to see the current abode of demons. You know, again, another misconception is that Satan and demons are currently in hell, torturing people. Right? Okay, some people have claimed that they went to hell, and in hell they saw people being poked with spikes, okay, by demons and the devil. Okay, but interestingly, the Bible does not teach that. Amen. Nowhere in the Bible do you see Satan torturing sinners or demons torturing sinners in hell. You know, that again is an error. Do you get it? Do you see that? The more you relate with God's word, the more you realize that most of what you have been taught was false. Right? So you just have to be honest with yourself and renew your mind in so many areas. Okay, and that is the benefit of having a sound local church. Okay, that helps your mind. Okay, that error actually was gotten from that poem, Dante's Inferno. Remember that? Okay, which pictured hell as a torture chamber. Okay, and also from pagan mythology. You know, from the Greeks, the Egyptians, and the Norse. The Greeks believed that Hades, okay, was the lord of the underworld. The Egyptians had Osiris. The Norse had El, the daughter of Loki. Okay, so these pagan religions believe that some deity is ruling hell. Okay, but such concepts are foreign to Christianity, however. Amen. Okay, the Christian faith does not even teach Satan as the lord of hell. Do you get it? Okay, he's not in hell, neither is he the lord of hell. Satan and demons currently operate on the earth. Hallelujah. Okay, their present location is on the earth, not in hell. Okay, in Job chapter 1, verse 7, when God asks Satan, from where do you come? You see, he doesn't say hell, right? What does he say? From going to and fro on the earth. I mean, that's very clear, right? And from walking back and forth on it. Okay, the devil's kingdom is not hell. Okay, he operates on the earth. He's called what? The God of where? Hell. This world. Get it? Okay, Ephesians 2 calls him the prince of the power of the air. That is, he's as close to man as the very hair that he breathes. Where? On the earth. Okay, then we also try to see two verses that seem to imply that Satan and demons are currently in hell. 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude chapter 6. 2 Peter 2:4 says that, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Okay, and we said that that word hell there, quite interesting. You know, there are several Greek words used for hell. Okay, and Peter is very careful with which one he uses here. Interestingly, Peter does not use the word Hades, which means grave, Sheol in the Old Testament in the Hebrew. Okay, he doesn't use Gehenna, which literally means waste bin. Okay, incinerator. That word Gehenna is a shortened form of the Valley of Hinnom, the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom. Okay, placed just outside Israel, where filthy, unclean things were burnt and destroyed. You get it? So it refers to a place of destruction of all things. Now Peter doesn't use that word here. Okay, instead Peter uses the word Tartarus. Now that word Tartarus is a place in Greek mythology where the Titans were cast down and imprisoned. Remember that? So what is Peter saying here? Simple, demons have been demoted and restrained. Do you get it? Tartarus is a metaphor used by Peter for demotion and restraint. You see that Jude uses chains of darkness to refer to the same thing. Jude chapter 6. Okay, so Peter means that demons are fallen angels. They have been cast down or brought down to a state of demotion and restraint. That is Tartarus. Do you get it? So when he says they've been cast down to hell, they've been cast down to Tartarus. Tartarus there is a state. Do you get it? Okay, of demotion and restraint. And they exist in that state on the earth. Do you get it? Okay, not in hell. So their activities have been restricted on the earth. That's what Peter means there. They've been cast down from the kingdom of heaven. Okay, from their power, their place, and their authority there. Okay, they were cast down from that original position which they had. Now they roam the earth in that fallen state, unable to get back to their former estate. You know, just the same way the Titans couldn't claw their way back up to Mount Olympus in Greek mythology from Tartarus. So these fallen angels cannot get back to their original authority. That is all that Peter means there. Is that clear? Okay, not that God cast demons down to hell, okay, the lake of fire. That hasn't happened yet. Amen. It will happen at the end of the age. Right now, these demons are chained. Okay, they are restrained. That's what that means, metaphorical. They are under the power of darkness, Jude says. Okay, they are bound to darkness like chains. They are under the influence of darkness. They are dark, twisted, evil, roaming the earth, awaiting judgment. So the earth feels like hell for them. You get it? Okay, that is their hell. It feels like hell for them. You know, it's torture to roam about. Do you know that? Oh, you don't think so? It's torture to roam about endlessly without any real purpose. Okay, in a fallen, inferior state, knowing that one day you'll be destroyed. You know, demons have nothing good to look forward to. Do you get their anger and their frustration? They have nothing good to look forward to. No, you know, I will die. I'll be destroyed. Do you get it? Okay, so both Peter and Jude address the current fallen state of angels. Okay, they are saying the same thing, right? Only with different words. Okay, so what Jude calls chained under darkness, Peter calls Tartarus. Do you get it? They are both referring to that fallen state of demons, not a place, amen, a state. Okay, remember that word demon means what? Literally, fallen spirit, inferior spirit. Okay, we can say spirit in Tartarus. Do you get it? Okay, or spirit in a state of demotion. Okay, or using Jude's words, spirit in chains, that is restrained, restricted spirit. Okay, so nowhere does the Bible teach Satan and demons in hell currently. Amen. Okay, this will happen at the end of the age when they will be thrown into Gehenna, that lake of fire. And when that happens, Satan and the demons won't be torturing people there. They themselves would be tortured and eventually be destroyed in the fire. Revelation 20 verse 10 tells us that. Is that clear? Alright, so that is a brief recap of everything we've seen so far in this teaching. So today we'll move on quickly to see hierarchy amongst demons. I think we looked at this as well when we saw angels, right? Okay, still looking at facts concerning demons. So this will be another subheading for you. Hierarchy amongst demons. Now, hierarchy simply refers to levels or degrees of authority. Okay? Hierarchy simply refers to levels or degrees of authority. Now, just like angels, there are also order and ranking amongst demons. You get it? Look at Ephesians 6 verse 12, our text. Ephesians 6 12. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, underline that, principalities, against powers, underline that, powers, against the rulers of the darkness, underline that, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places," or in the heavenly. Now, these words, principalities, powers, and rulers, are political terminologies in the Greek. Now, the word principalities, archas in the Greek, archas, referred to magistrates. Okay, it referred to magistrates in ancient Greek times. The word powers, exousias in the Greek, exousias in the Greek, okay, was used for governors. That word powers, okay, was used for governors. And the word rulers, kosmokratoras in the Greek, kosmokratoras, the O after T accentuated, kosmokratoras. Okay, it means literally world leaders. Okay, world leaders. So all these words are civic nomenclature. You see that? Are used for political leaders of that day. So what does Paul do here? Paul then applies the same to demons. So Paul is saying that similar hierarchy can be found amongst the demons. You get it? Just like in the world, you have kings, president, governors, okay? There are levels and degrees of authority amongst the demons. Okay, now this is not for us to then begin to speculate. You know, some people have said things like, there is a queen of the coast. Amen. Have you heard that before? There is queen of the land, demon of the desert, incubus, succubus, you know, as the case may be. You know, the Bible is not very loud on the hierarchy amongst demons. Do you get it? It's not very loud. So that means it doesn't give you specifics. And where the Bible is silent, be what? Be silent. Do you get it? The Bible lets us know that there is hierarchy amongst demons, but the Bible is not loud on that hierarchy. Okay? But the Bible is clear that Satan is the head of the demons. Do you get it? It doesn't tell you who his second in command is. Do you follow that? Okay, but it makes it clear that Satan is the head of demons. So that is the clearest that the Bible is concerning demonic hierarchy. So let's examine this a bit. Now that word Satan is Jewish. Okay, it's Jewish. It means an adversary. The word Satan means an adversary, an Hebrew word, a Satan, okay, or an opponent. Okay, an opponent. Now the Bible teaches the existence of a being called Satan. Now that being is the arch enemy of all that is good. Okay, he exists as the complete opposite, antithesis of all that is good. Now that being appears a few times in the Old Testament. Okay, if you've been with us for a while now, I've explained to you that Satan is rarely seen, right? In the Old Testament, he veiled himself in the Old Testament, he masqueraded in the Old Testament. However, by the mercy of God, is found a few times in the Old Testament. For example, it was Satan who was behind Job's misfortune. Job 1:6, you see that there, to Job 2:7. Job 1:6 to Job 2:7. It was Satan who moved David to sin. 1 Chronicles 21:1. Remember that? It says, now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. In Zechariah, you find this same being. And in Zechariah, he is seen accusing Joshua, okay, the high priest. Zechariah 3:1, it says, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Underline that, okay? Now, the New Testament, which derives its theology from the Old, also speaks of Satan. Now, it is Satan who tempts Jesus in the wilderness, Matthew 4:1-10, amen. A literal being. Also in Luke 10:18, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You see that? So he's found both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament portions of the Bible. Now the Bible also uses other names for Satan. You get it? He has other terminologies used for him. So we'll examine them now. Okay. He's called, now you may bullet point here. Alright. He's called the devil. That'll be a first bullet point there, okay? The devil. Now, the word devil is an English translation of the Greek word diablos, D-I-A-B-O-L-O-S. Okay, does this sound familiar? Huh? What English word? Diabolical, thank you very much, okay? That is where we get that English term, diabolical. Okay, so diablos means slanderer, okay, or accuser. That word was used for someone who defames, okay, someone who defames the character of others, who brings charges against them. You know, we have a word for that today, prosecutor, right? It brings charges against another. Now this word diablos, the devil, it appears severally throughout the New Testament. So run through now and just have your Bible handy, okay? Matthew 4:1, where you find this word diablos, the devil, used in the New Testament. Matthew 4:1. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Underline that. Underline the devil as we go on, okay? John 13:2. John 13:2. It says, and supper being ended, the devil, underline that, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Look at Matthew 13:39. Matthew 13:39, it says, the enemy who sold them is the devil. Underline that. The devil, the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Look at Revelation 20:2. Revelation 22, it says, he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil, the line that the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Okay, the next bullet point here, remember we're looking at what? The names, right? Okay, the next bullet point here, the serpent. The serpent. Now, the devil is first referred to as the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. You may turn your Bible there. Genesis 3:1. It says, now the serpent, underline that, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Okay, again in verse 14 of that same chapter, it says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, underline that, the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Okay, so the biblical authors who read Genesis 3, right? Okay, then continue the use of this term, serpent, in reference to Satan. 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul uses that terminology there. 2 Corinthians 11:3, he says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent, underline that, the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, underline that, by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Revelation 12:9 is used there as well. Revelation 12:9, it says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, underline that, that serpent of old, remember that phrase, that ancient serpent, right? That serpent from Genesis, it says, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him. By Revelation 22, he says, he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, underline that, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. The devil is called a serpent, we've said, because of his craftiness, right? He's not a literal serpent. He is called a serpent because of his craftiness. He's calculative and manipulative. Do you get it? That is why he's called a serpent. The next bullet point here, Beelzebub. Okay, Beelzebub. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees there accused Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub, right? Matthew 12:24. It says, now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Now this nomenclature is derived from the Old Testament, actually. Look at 2 Kings 1:2. You see that there? 2 Kings 1:2. It says, now Isaiah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Baal-zebub. You see that there? You learn that, okay? Inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury. This word Beelzebub literally means Lord of the Flies. There's a book like that, right? Lord of the Flies. Okay, that word Beelzebub literally means Lord of the Flies. Okay, it was a god of Ekron, okay, in the Old Testament days. And this god was believed to have power to chase away flies. Okay, to chase away troublesome flies. Okay, the flies were a picture of evil spirits in the Jewish thought. You get it? So this term, this terminology, Lord of the Flies, would mean Lord of the Demons. Is that clear? Alright, Beelzebub, to emphasize the fact that Satan controlled the demons. Okay, then next bullet point here, the ruler of this world. Amen. The ruler of this world, John 12:31. Run through now. John 12:31, it says, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Underline that, okay, as we proceed. John 14:30, similarly there. John 14:30, it says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world, you see that there again, is coming, and he has nothing in me. John 16:11. John 16:11. It says of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Okay. Now that phrase, ruler of this world, archon to kosmo in the Greek, it means the chief, governor, or ruler of this age. The chief, governor, or ruler of this age. Okay, that word archon describes one who has influence over others. Okay, one who influences others. Okay, now the world here, or the age here, okay, that Satan is God of, refers to a system that opposes God. Okay, it refers to a system that opposes God. You see that the Bible often speaks of this present age and the age to come. Ephesians 1:21, you see that there. Ephesians 1:21, it says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, underline that this age, but also in that which is to come. You see that there? So there is this age, okay, and there is a future one to come. Now this present age is the age of sin, okay, in which men are ruled and controlled by the devil. So their beliefs, ideologies, and worldviews are influenced by him. Look at 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19, it says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. You see that? They lie under the control, the influence of the wicked one. Satan, the god of this age, blinds the eyes of sinful men. 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Okay, so they cannot see God's truth in the gospel. The devil, the prince of the power of the air, walks in the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 2:1, you see that there? Okay, it says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, underline that, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, underline that, from according to air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience, underline that, who now walks in the sons of disobedience. Do you see that? Okay, 3 says, among whom also we all conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, so that is his influence. Do you see that? The lust of the flesh. It says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Underline that, okay? Desires of the flesh and of the mind. Okay, and we're by nature children of wrath. Underline that, children of wrath. Just as the others. So the devil rules the system of this world. Worldliness. Do you get it? This present age. It controls men's actions, dispositions, and desires. Okay, he rules over the hearts of men. And because the devil rules over the way of the world, the hearts of men of this world, those of the world hate God and hate his people. John 15:18, you see that there? John 15:18. It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. 19 says, if you were of the world, underline that, of the world will love its own. Underline that, the world will love its own. Do you see that? It says, yet because you're not of this world, underline that, because you're not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Do you see that? Okay, remember who governs their actions? The devil. You see that? So this is expected. It says, therefore the world hates you. Underline that, okay? So when it says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. Look at John 17:14. Similarly there. John 17:14. It says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. You see that? Underline from that to a world, okay? Just as I am not of the world. So what does Satan do? He inspires hatred in the hearts of men, men of this world, men of this age, towards God and his things. Next bullet point here, the wicked one. Okay? Another terminology used for him, the wicked one. Matthew 13:19. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one, underline that, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Look at 1 John 2:13. 1 John 2:13. It says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Underline that, the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. So it's called the wicked one. That nomenclature, wicked one, translates the Greek poneros. P-O-N-E-R-O-S. P-O-N-E-R-O-S. The E accentuated, which means evil one. Literally, okay? Evil one, malicious. That word was used for one who only seeks to bring harm. You get it? To others. The next bullet point here, the tempter. The tempter. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. It says, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, underline that, the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. Now, the tempter, o perazon in the Greek, refers to one who entices. Okay? He entices others to sin. That's that word, that phrase, that nomenclature, the tempter, used for one who entices others to sin. The next bullet point here, the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12:10, you see that there? Revelation 12:10. It says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, underline that, from that to brethren, okay, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Now he's called an accuser because he raises complaints. You get it? Against the people. Kategoros in the Greek. That's that word. K-A-T-E-G-O-R-O-S. It literally means one who stands against others. Get it? It stands against others. Okay, so some people like to joke that if you're a persecutor in law, you're like the devil. Amen? You bring charges against others. So Christians in law should only be defendants. Okay, they should only defend people. They should never persecute, because the devil stands against others. You know, he's an accuser of the brethren. You know, funny stuff. All right, so these are the other names given to the devil. Is that clear? The head of demons in scripture. Now let's move quickly to another subheading here. Now, are demons omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient? Amen. Are demons omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient? What are the extents of their powers? We want to find out, okay? Are you ready? Okay. Now, the Bible describes God as all-powerful. Amen. God is described in the Bible as all-powerful. Isaiah 14:27. You see that there? Please turn the Bible there quickly. Isaiah 14:27. Okay. He says, for the Lord of hosts as proposed, and who will annul it? Underline that, who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? Underline that, and who will turn it back? Okay, his power is unchallenged and unlimited. Job 42:1. You see that there? Job 42:1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything. Underline that, you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Underline that, from no to you. Is that absolute power? Come on. Thank you. You see that in Genesis chapter 18, popular verse, verse 14. It says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen. Christians love this verse a lot. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Okay. You see that the Bible also describes God as being present everywhere. So we've seen all powerful, right? Okay. Now, it's also described in the Bible as being present everywhere. Okay. See Jeremiah 23:23. Jeremiah 23:23. He says, am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Underline that, and not a God afar off. Do you get what that means? Am I only near and not also distant? Do you get it? So it's where you are, it's also where you're not. Hallelujah. 10:4 says, can anyone hide himself in secret places? Underline that, from calm to places, okay? So I shall not see him. Come on, do you see that? Says the Lord, do I not fill heaven and earth? Underline that, okay? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord. The psalmist explains this for them in Psalm 139:7-12. Let's see that quickly. Psalm 139:7-12. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Right? Or where can I flee from your presence? Is that clear? Okay, it says, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. Underline that, okay? You are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Underline that, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your right hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be like light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. Underline that. The darkness shall not hide from you. Is that clear? But the night shines as the day. The darkness and light are both alike to you. Furthermore, God is all-knowing. Psalm 147 verse 5. He knows all things. Psalm 147 verse 5. It says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Hallelujah. Okay, he knows what we will say even before we say it. Psalm 139 verse 4. Praise the Lord. How do you want to talk to someone like that? Right? I know women will wish they had that power for their husbands. What was I about to say? And he changes his voice. I knew what you were about to say. Right? Oh, the ladies are quiet. Okay, Psalm 139 verse 4. Amen. You're quiet and you're smiling. You put your head down and you're smiling. God will judge you. Yeah? Where were you last night? I was a Brother Tunde. Yeah? Okay, look at Psalm 139 verse 4. Okay, it says, for there is not a word on my tongue, and behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Hallelujah. See that? Underline it, okay? You know it altogether. That is, you know what I'm about to say before the word reaches my lips. Hallelujah. Word of God. Okay, he knows all things. 1 John 3:20. It says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Praise the Lord. Underline that, okay? Knows all things. Now, only God possesses these attributes. Okay? Only God possesses these attributes. And his creation only share in these attributes as much as he allows. Okay, angels are not all powerful, all knowing, or everywhere all at once. Remember, we saw that in the teaching on angels, right? Please ensure you listen to it, okay? Now, remember that demons are fallen angels, right? Okay, they are fallen, but angels nonetheless. So the same applies to them. Do you get it? So, just like other angels, demons are not all powerful, they are not all knowing, or everywhere all at once. Okay, in fact, for demons, you see that their abilities are greatly limited because they fail. Hallelujah. Okay, now this doesn't mean that Satan and demons don't have any power at all. You know, some Christians have gone overboard and said things like Satan is completely powerless. Oh Lord. Okay, that is not true. Okay, we see that just like angels, demons can manipulate nature. Amen. Demons can manipulate nature. In Job 1 and 2, you see there that Satan manipulates the weather, right? It causes lightning, that is called fire from heaven, right? That is old way of saying that, okay? Lightning is called fire from heaven or fire from God, okay? And tornadoes, that strong wind that destroyed the house in which his sons were staying, right? Okay, so he manipulates the weather. Not only that, he could also manipulate biology, right? It causes bacterial infections on Job, right? So it controls climate and biology. You see that so far? Okay, you see that Satan can also influence the minds of men. One of the ways he tries to destroy us is that he tries to influence the minds of men to be hostile toward us. In Revelation 2:10, John there lets the Christians as remnant know that some of them would be imprisoned. Okay, and it lets them know that the devil will be behind this. Revelation 2:10, please, you may turn your Bible then. Revelation 2:10. It says, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Online that, okay? From there to prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. How would the devil throw them into prison? Huh? Will he take them? Literally, he will use men. Okay, so the devil can influence governments and legislatures against the church. Do you get it? He can cause the government to pass bills that will arm the church. Do you get it? Okay, that's what he's doing here. Okay, in Suriname. Okay, it can also inspire men to be violent toward us, you know, like it did to Job in Job 1 verse 17. You know, there the Chaldeans raided Job's livestock and killed his employees. Okay, so unlike angels who use their power for good, you know, protection and preservation, Satan and his demons possess destructive abilities. You get it? Okay, so they have power, is that clear? But that power is destructive. But again, that destructive might is restricted. I must say that highly restricted. God doesn't let Satan and demons operate out of control, you know, or else we'll be destroyed. Right? All of us. Okay? Demons are described as being in everlasting chains. Jude 6. If you turn your Bible there. Jude 6. It says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains. Underline that, everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. And we've said that this statement here, are reserved in everlasting chains, describes their what? State. Remember that? Okay, their spiritual state. Okay, so they are set within strict boundaries. That's what Jude means here. That's what Jude is saying here, okay? That is, there is a limit to what they can do. So sin weakened demons. The word demon literally means what? A weaker spirit or what? Inferior spirit. Okay, thank you. So demons lost their full power when they rebelled. So although demons have might, that might is greatly limited, greatly diminished. It is lesser than God's angels. Okay, because God's angels continually draw their strength from God's light. Hallelujah. And that is why Christians can successfully, okay, defeat Satan and his demons, because Satan and his demons are fallen inferior spirits. James 4:7. James says it there. James 4:7, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see that? So, Satan and demons are not as powerful as they make themselves out to be. Okay, we'll see that, you know, as we proceed in this teaching anyways. So, therefore, neither Satan or his demons are omnipotent, omniscient, or omnipresent. Is that clear? Okay, demons cannot know the future, neither can they read minds. Only the true God can. Isaiah 46:9-10. Isaiah 46:9-10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. Underline that, there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Underline that, there is none like me. Now why is there none like him? Verse 10. Declaring the end. Hallelujah. From the beginning. Underline that, from declaring to beginning, okay? The word end there is future, okay? And from ancient times, things that are not yet done. Underline that, from things to done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So this is why he is God. Hallelujah. Because only he knows the future. You see that even angels did not know the time Jerusalem would be destroyed. Mark 13:32. Mark 13:32. It says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven. You see that? Not even the angels in heaven. Underline that, okay? Nor the Son. Now, the Son as a man. Right? Okay? But only the Father. So, only God possesses such power. Satan and demons are not omnipresent. Okay? Being angels, they can only be in one place at one time. Now, we explained that in the teaching on angels. Please get it as well. Angels have to travel from one place to another to be there. Remember we said that, right? Okay? Angels have to travel from a place to another place to be there. In Job 1:7, when God asks the devil there, it says, from where do you come? You know what his reply was? From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. That is, he journeyed. Come on. You see that? To and fro the earth. So he would leave one spot and go to another spot. Come on, do you get it? Okay, so it wasn't everywhere at once. You see that verse 12 of that same chapter, okay, also mentions Satan going out, right, from the presence of God. That is, he left that place, right, to where Job and his were. Come on, do you see that? Job 2:2 and Job 2:7 record similarly. The devil walking to and fro, leaving one place to another. Peter helps us with this. Peter says that the devil walks about, amen, like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Okay, that phrase walks about, it translates the Greek peripatio. P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. The last O accentuated, which means to tread all around. Okay, to tread all around. Okay, so he's not everywhere all at once. Amen. He has to move from place to place. He walks about. Is that clear? Okay, also, nowhere do demons read minds in the Bible. Nowhere. Okay, but Jesus could do so. Look at Matthew 9 verse 4. As we begin to close gradually now. Learning so far? All right, thank you. Matthew 9, 4. Run through now, okay? So please have your Bible on you, okay? Matthew 9, 4. It says, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, underline that, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your heart? You see that? He knew the minds of men. Matthew 12, 25. He says, but Jesus knew their thoughts, underline that, from birth to thought, okay, and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to dissolution, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Look at Mark 2:8. It says, but immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that the reason tossed within themselves, a long quotation, underline from Jesus to themselves, okay, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Look at Luke 6:8. It says, but he knew their thought, on the line from he to thought, okay, and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Luke 11:17. But he, knowing their thoughts, on the line that, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to dissolution, and a house divided against a house falls. Okay, now Jesus does so because Jesus is God in the flesh. Amen. Jesus is Yahweh of the Old Testament in the flesh. Only God knows the heart of a man. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 6:5. Okay, he says, then the Lord saw, underline that, saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Underline that, from that to continually. Okay, that every intent of his heart was only evil continually. So see this here. God saw, come on, the intent, okay, and the thought of men's heart. You see that there? He saw it. Okay, look at Psalm 139:2. Well, yeah, earlier on, Psalm 139:2, it says, you know my sitting down and my rising up, you understand my thought afar off. You see that? And line from you to off, okay? So he reads minds, amen, literally. Look at verse 4 of that same chapter. It says, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together, amen. I'm underlining that as well, you know it all together. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Verse 23 of that same chapter, underline, know my heart, try me, and know my anxieties. Look at Isaiah 66:18. It says, for I know their works and their thoughts. Underline that, I know their works, okay, and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. In Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, right? Okay, he has a dream, and Daniel will tell King Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamt. And in doing so, Daniel makes it clear that only God's power could make this possible. Amen? Okay, Daniel makes it clear to King Nebuchadnezzar that only the power of Yahweh could make that possible. Man on his own does not know what another man has dreamt. You get it? He doesn't know those things that are present in the mind of a man. Look at Daniel 2:27-28. As we begin to close, Daniel 2:27-28. It says, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. Now why? Because they are men. Do you get it? Okay? Men that operate via what? Demons. Do you get it? Demons don't know that. Do you get it? Okay, look at 28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. Hallelujah. And like that, okay, who reveals secret, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. Okay, so he makes that dream known to the king. Paul makes it clear that no one else knows the thought of a man except the man himself. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 11. You see that there? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 11. It says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Underline that, okay? From for to him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. You see that? Okay? When a man's heart is revealed, it is a sign of God's power. 1 Corinthians 14, 24 to 25. 1 Corinthians 14, 24 to 25. It says, when evil prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, is convinced by all, is convicted by all, and tells the secrets of his heart are revealed. Underline that, the secrets of his heart are revealed. Okay, it says, and so, falling down on his face, he will worship God. You see that? And report that God is truly among you. You see that? That is a consequence of the secrets of his heart being revealed. He will report that God is truly among you. Now that can only happen by the word of knowledge, right? Revelation about the past and present. Now Paul's statement here is very significant. Very, very significant, especially in Corinth. You know, Corinth was a city that was filled with idol worship. Okay, and Paul says that those idols were actually demon spirits. You see that, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 20. 1 Corinthians 10 20. It says, rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice. Now, sacrifice to what? Idols, right? Now, look at this. They sacrifice to demons. You see that? Online, okay? So, those idols are actually, in reality, are demons. Demon spirits, okay? And not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. So, even these demons could not know a man's heart. Do you get it? That is why the unsaved Corinthian who comes into the church is, I must want to say, flabbergasted. Do you get it? Because what he has seen in the church is not found even in, you know, his places of worship with idols. Do you get it? Okay? And that is why the unsaved is brought to repentance in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 24 to 25. Alright? Because his heart has been revealed, and the secrets of his heart being revealed can only be an act of the true God. Is that clear? Alright. So far, have we seen that? Are demons omnipotent? Are they everywhere all at once? Can they read minds? Okay, no. Alright. Now, some may ask, alright, that if demons can't read minds, then how do we explain magicians and soothsayers who are able to give people accurate details about their lives? Have you seen that before? Okay, we have soothsayers, magicians, and then they will tell someone what they ate for dinner. Right? They will tell the person the name of his spouse. In fact, in some cases, they will tell the person his secret addictions. Okay, now there are two answers to this question. Now, first of all, remember that we are in a digital age, right? Do you know that? Okay, you have a smartphone, everyone does. Okay, and people can get all the information they need about you online. Okay, we just want Google search. They can get your school, your spouse, okay, several information about, especially if you are the type that loves to post on social media a lot. You know, some today, this Gen Z, you know, like I said earlier on, this Gen Z generation, okay, everything about their life is on the social media. You know, I saw one on YouTube, he got a house, and then he's doing house tour. It was, you know, Gen Z. He holds a camera. Just come along, you know, look at my crib. So this is the parlor. You know, it has a front door, back door. It goes upstairs. It says, you know, this is a toilet, you know, I have three toilets in this house. Why? Look at the kitchen, you know, why? So you are that kind of a person, and then you see Babalawo who tells you all your life. Of course. What do you expect? Do you get it? Okay. So, you see, most of these mediums, I'll tell you, most of them often research their clients beforehand. They go online, just search their clients' names, beforehand. They get, facts about them. Okay? Beforehand, most of them do that. Is that clear? So don't let that trick you. Amen? Okay? Then what about the cases where you have soothsayers and mediums who actually tell you things that only you know? Amen? They tell you things that you've not told anyone else, things you've not put on social media, things that only you know. Now, in such cases, note that demons are observant. Do you get it? Okay, demons have eyes, amen. Okay, they can monitor you. Hallelujah. They have ears, right? They can hear your conversations, okay? They can gain information about you. Now that information, they in turn relay to these occult practitioners. Do you get it? So that means that a demon can know what I ate for dinner because he saw me eating, amen. Okay, then he will tell the medium to attract me. Frogs, right? False signs. So the devil can know my business plans because he overheard my conversation with business partners. Do you get it? Okay, so don't be hoodwinked by this. It doesn't imply that Satan or his demons can actually read minds. But Satan and his demons can read situations. Do you get it? They won't read your mind, but they can read situations. They can even read facial expressions. Hallelujah. And so on. And draw accurate conclusions. Remember I told you in that teaching on angels that angels are logical, eye-thinking beings. Do you get it? Okay, so they can see, they can hear, and they can draw accurate conclusions from that which they've seen and that which they have heard. Okay, so what does this mean? It means that Satan and his demons only know what they have seen or heard, just like men. Do you get it? They are not all-knowing. So the devil doesn't know at all what he hasn't seen or heard. Do you follow that? At all. See Matthew 2 as we close. How many times have I said that now? A good minister closes how many times? Is it 5 or 10? Huh? 5 or 10? 10. Okay, thank you very much. How many times have I said that now? We are approaching gradually. Amen? Please bear with me. Hallelujah. Okay, are you learning so far? All right, thank you very much. Matthew chapter 2. Okay, we find a perfect example of this in Matthew chapter 2. This will help you explain this perfectly to anyone. Are you ready? Okay, Matthew 2 verse 1. Please, you may have your Bible handy. Let's read that together. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now look at 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now obviously Herod was under the devil's influence, right? Okay. Now the devil knew the prophecy about the king of the Jews, right? From the Old Testament. He knew from the Old Testament that there was a coming Messiah. God has spoken about it, right? The prophets have spoken about it, proclaimed it, okay? And he heard it. So what information does he have? Someone is coming. Come on, are you following this? Okay, thank you. And he wanted to stop that person from coming, right? Okay. But notice what the devil didn't know. He didn't know that the Messiah had been born. Now, until the wise men said so. Come on, do you spot that there? Okay, then the devil controlling Herod's mind was troubled. Verse 3. So in Herod, you find a manifestation of the devil just like the king of Babylon, Isaiah 14. Come on, right? In that pride, you now find similarly here, he is troubled because Satan was troubled. Do you get it? The spirit controlling his mind. And even still, you see that Herod didn't know where exactly Jesus was. So look at what he does. He begins to make inquiries. Come on. Look at verses 4 to 6. He says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, so he called, Satan is quite ridiculous. He calls the MOGs, those that know scripture very well, the Bible theologians, okay, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So look at this. He's seeking information. Come on. Come on. Look at verse 5. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for to us it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler, that is Messiah, right? Who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, this information is still very vague. Don't you think so? It's not clear enough. It just says Bethlehem. Right? A specific location isn't mentioned. So Satan is still largely oblivious. So in our new, look at information. Someone is coming. I know where he'll be born. Right? But what is the street? I don't know. Come on, do you get it? What is the house color where he is? I don't know. So he still needed the specifics of Jesus' whereabouts. You get it? He needed the specifics of Jesus' whereabouts. So look at what he does. He asks the wise men to go, right? And then come back to tell him. Verses 7 to 8. He's seeking more information. Look at that. Verse 7. It says, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. Okay, you see that? He determined, oh, okay. 2 years, 3 years. I know. So look at this now. Where he's born. I know someone is coming. Right? I know where he's born. And I know the age range. Right? Okay. Look at 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. Underline that. From go to child. And when you found him, bring back word to me. Can we say supply me with information? Okay. Underline that. From bring to me. Okay. From bring to me, that I might come and worship him. But look at what God did. He preserved Jesus' life. Now how? By hiding his whereabouts. Look at verse 12 of that same chapter. It says, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, on the line that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. Do you see that? So the devil could not know what he wasn't told. Do you see that? So he had all the information except one thing, the specific location. Hallelujah. You see that? And you see that it wasn't until much later that Satan realized that he had been deceived. And he says, how long does it take? You know, he's quite ridiculous. He's not as smart as you think. Okay? So, I sent Sister Chelsea to go and buy UI water from that place. And she spent 2 days. That's strange. How long does it take? Do you get it? She said, how do I say Yoruba? But he deceived me. Do you get it? He deceived me. Look at verse 16. It says, then Herod, actually Satan walking through him, right? Okay. When he saw that he was deceived. Underline that, okay? He was deceived. So he didn't know till much later. Come on. Okay. But the wise man was exceedingly angry. You see a manifestation of the devil in Herod. Just like the king of Babylon, right? And he sent forth and put to death. Now look at this. All the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all his district. From what? 2 years old and under. Come on. Remember he asked them what? The time of the star. So he knew, okay, this child from 2 years under. He knew. Come on. Okay. According to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Do you see that? Do you see that? Okay. And even then, you see that Satan was already too late. Jesus and his family had escaped to Egypt. So that is how God preserved the life of Jesus. Do you see that? He prevented information from getting to the devil. So the devil is not all-knowing. Come on, do you see that? Okay, he's not all-knowing. The devil, I wrote here, is only all-knowing if you are all-telling. Do you get it? He only knows what you say, what you tell. Do you get it? So learn to keep your life, your plans, okay, and so on and so forth, secret. Okay, and private. I know that's hard for Gen Z Christians to do, but please try to do so. It's not everything God has told you, you just start saying all about. For me personally, once God tells us to do something, I pray about it first for several months. No one knows because I know the devil is listening. Do you get it? Always seeking to destroy what God wants to do through his men. Is that clear? Okay, so you see, is it clear from God's word? The devil is not all-knowing, he's not all-powerful, he's not everywhere all at once. Okay, he just like men. Okay, has limits to his power. Okay, he needs to travel from one place to another to be there. He also needs information to be supplied to him before he knows things. Okay, did you learn? All right, continue from there in the next service. Lift your hands, give him praise, thank him.